Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to address two questions that have to do with managing up and managing down, which means we're in the boss space. We're talking about bosses. In each case, the person asking the question is having trouble with the personalities involved.
Yeah.
Whether it's the boss she reports to or the employees that he manages. So yeah. We'll get into that.
And that is one of the things we always say, Kathy, don't we, when we're running our books and speaking, that your job is usually fairly simple. It's the people.
It's always the people.
Personalities.
You know, I gave a copy of Working With You Is Killing Me to one of the doormen that work in my building. I'm not going to say where I live. And I gave it to him in a paper bag because I didn't want his coworkers to know that.
So under the table.
Like, yeah. I get in the laundry room in a bag. I said, look, you need to read this book. Because he kept, I do my laundry early in the morning when he's vacuuming. Yeah. And he ended up.
He vacuums down in the laundry room?
Well, you know, there's all that lint.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. In the machines. He vacuums it out. And he's always complaining to me.
About the people.
So I give him the book and it's a week later now. I see him yesterday and he says to me, so I got it. It's not about work. It's about the people I have to work with. He really got it.
That's
an epiphany moment. Like,
right, it really was.
That's right. And it's true because so often you think there must be something terribly wrong with me that I'm not enjoying this job, you know, or
right.
that it's not going well. It must be something I'm doing wrong.
Right. But it's rarely about the work.
Yeah.
It's about the
people. So rarely.
Right. It's about the people that get in your way to doing your work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So why don't we just get to our first question, Logan?
Mm-hmm.
I currently have a job that I like, but my boss is difficult to deal with. He is known to be moody and antisocial, and he even scowls when I say hello or ask him how he's doing. At meetings, he can't make eye contact with me, and it seems like he can't wait for any communication to end. I frequently feel like I'm on the outs with him, but I've also been told that he does this to everyone. It feels like I must be doing something wrong. Any advice?
You can take this. I hear this all the time from my clients.
Yes.
I hear this all the time.
And that they're dealing with this kind
of
thing. Yeah, well, so here's the deal. The key in this question is that I'm told that he does this to everyone, which means that it has nothing to do with you, which is the most difficult thing to believe in these situations.
Yeah, how many people believe that?
Very few.
Yeah.
Including myself at certain points in time. Mm-hmm. It's true. So it's the big, big challenge here is not to take this personally.
This eye contact thing, that's pretty weird.
Yeah. Well, that's often social anxiety, Kathy, right?
Right. I was going to say that sounds like a lacking of social skills.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, people are in management positions who hate people. Not only do they not know how to deal with them, but they feel literally like they're having an allergic reaction when they have to interact.
Yeah, not everybody should be a manager.
No. And yet, so many are.
Well, because if you want to climb any corporate ladder, if you're in a growing business, you're going to have to manage people.
That's right.
Unless you're at the bottom.
Yeah.
So management is something that everybody has to learn.
Yeah. So I think in this case, the big thing is to deal with your own feelings first, that you're not being rejected by him, singled out because there's something horribly wrong with you. In fact, you're dealing with someone who has problems interacting with people.
Mm-hmm. You know, in my earlier career, I would have spent a lot of time psychoanalyzing him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that I could see it from his perspective.
Yeah.
And that always worked for me.
Yeah.
So
it's a good example. That's a good idea.
It really could be that, you know, he has some kind of social, or she has some kind of social anxiety, but also probably maybe just can't cope with what's going on.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know why you would not make eye contact with your staff in a meeting.
You know, I actually had someone like this.
And
I had a boss like this. Not only did he not make eye contact, but he looked down So it could seem as if he were looking at your anatomy in some way. And I saw what? Over time, no, he looked down, like, you know, down to the right, the left, and sometimes down to the center. Mm-hmm. But that's because he was so awkward. He just didn't know how to interact. Mm-hmm. And to your point, when I finally got it, that this guy just has a problem, then I didn't take it personally at that moment for at least a few days.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very hard to not take this personally. Because you want your boss to recognize you. You want to know that you have a connection with your boss of some sort.
Right.
So for the managers, they really have to work on this. They really do. Because, I mean, as a social, you can't be in the workplace unless you work for one of those companies that's virtual. They might want to consider that.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting. I was just thinking, because we've heard this before, Kathy, an individual who's in a very similar position as this who told me about her boss. What he said is, I don't need to say hello to you. Your paycheck is your hello and your goodbye.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
Oh, my God.
We've heard that. What does it take to really say good morning
charming.
To people? I mean, that's a real lack of humanity?
Yeah, that's interpersonal
skills.
Shame on
you, Mr. Mean Boss. But the truth is he's telling you what's true for him. And what I would say in these situations is, if someone instructs you, don't talk to me, you might as well follow those instructions.
Yes.
I would stick to written communication as much as possible with this kind of individual, right? And when you go to speak to him, just say, I need 5 minutes of your time, no more.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be able to have a sense of humor about this. I mean, anyone that really... I mean, this is a problem they have to live with.
Yeah.
You know,
call this person's partner or wife or whatever he has.
Alone,
and you'll hear... That's right. And you,
maybe not.
Can I speak to your cat? Thank you.
Meow, 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 meow.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Anyway, going back to the podcast.
The cat's probably not friendly either.
Probably
so
not.
You're not
exactly.
going to be able to find out what's really going on. But yes.
Yeah, the day you get something out of a cat, let me know.
So you don't take it personally. You stick to written communications. You do your very best to understand. And this is especially hard, let me just say, for people who know themselves to be likable. This feels like a real offense.
Right.
Right. Mm. When you, and I, because I'm one of those people where I think everyone wants to say hello to me. When someone doesn't do that, I'm like, oh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get mad at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So eventually you have to understand that this is not about you. I think the best tactic is to just laugh at them. not laugh out loud in their face. But it's just like, oh, there they are again. Look at that. Can't make eye contact. Look at that. Can't say hi. You know, it's just sort of it's humorous.
Actually, here's an idea, too, is you could use our acceptance exercise, which people hate to do.
So you're going to make sure they know
I'm going to let I'm going to tell you about
what
it.
What is it?
If there's someone who you can't stand and you can't come to terms with it, you try an acceptance exercise, which is you write down the facts about them. Like, my boss is difficult to deal with. He's moody and antisocial. He can't look at me when we talk. He scowls when I say hello. And then you say each of those sentences beginning with, I accept the fact that.
Mm-hmm.
I accept the fact that my boss is difficult to deal with. I accept the fact that he's moody and antisocial. And you do it for each item. Whether you accept it or not doesn't really matter. It just has to do with coming to terms with the reality of what you're dealing with.
You do have to accept it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. You have to accept. If you want the job, then you have to accept that this is the boss that you're dealing with. And that isn't working with you is killing me if you don't have a copy, which most of America does by now. But if you don't have a copy,
check it out.
Yeah, what chapter is that in?
Oh, my Lord and Taylor. Boy. I think that's in the Fatal Attractions chapter.
Oh.
First cited there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What else do we want to say about this?
I think we got it.
I think it's very uncomfortable, but hopefully you got a couple of techniques. All right, let's take a quick commercial break and come back with another boss situation.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back. Logan, what's next on our list?
I'm the manager for a team of engineers. I was promoted because I'm the best at solving technical problems, but now that I'm a manager, 70% of my time is spent dealing with people problems. These adults often act in childish ways. They get in turf wars and seem to need a lot of attention from me. They come into my office all day, sometimes crying, sometimes whining. Often they complain about their coworkers instead of the technical aspects of the job. Do I have a bunch of crazy people, or is this what management is?
Kathy?
Yeah, this is what management is. You got a bunch of all people are crazy.
I was just going to say, probably a little bit of both, right?
Yeah. Now, this is what it's like. And, you know, so many jobs don't come with management training.
No.
And that's unfortunate because this person has the skill level to do the technical part of the job, but mm-hmm. not the people part of the job. Mm-hmm. And that is not innate to most people. I mean, most people have to take a management class. Mm-hmm. So there's some good books out there. Well, maybe there aren't. I mean, it's a difficult thing to teach. I can't think of a good, it was a good management book. They're more textbooky than we wrote Working For You Isn't Working For Me, all about bosses. Mm-hmm. But that's more how to relate to bosses. But it might be helpful if you're a new boss. But there's classes. Just go to any local university. There's definitely classes on management. Mm-hmm. And then there's somebody like me, an executive coach, that really helps people learn how to be a manager. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to be a manager.
No. And
it's like a parent job. You really become a parent to everybody. They all come in every day with their personality and their needs and their problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have to support them in having a productive day.
Yes. And actually, I remember when we were running business groups, one of the business owners referred to it as adult daycare.
Right. Well, she did have adults.
Sounds
she
accurate.
She had a lot of really talented, creative people.
Yeah. So I would like to speak, though, to this particular person who says they come into my office all day, sometimes crying, sometimes whining. Often they complain about their coworkers instead of the technical aspects of the job. Mm-hmm. And some basic things about management, right, which is I don't hear it or see any evidence of boundaries mm-hmm. for this mm-hmm. individual. So one thing is you should be meeting with each of your reports in a formal way, mm-hmm. right? Have them come with agendas, talk about actual work-related issues. And if they come to you when it's not your usual meeting time, what do? Kathy?
You send them away. Get out of here. Yeah, I think we have a scheduled meeting. Why don't we take it up then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't have to be that available. And I think if somebody comes complaining about another employee, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
So you got to cut that off early on and say you can work that out. I'm sure you can work that out with this person. If not, you both can come to me and I'll mediate. Like, let them know that that's not my role. I'm not here to listen to that kind of chit chat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And go work it out. Go figure it out.
Go work it out.
Right.
I know you can figure this out.
I know you can
work it out.
And at the same time, you really have to watch to see that you don't have a bully, you know, somebody who is bullying your staff.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to see what's going on among your staff.
Yeah. So the idea is that if you create avenues of formal communication, mm-hmm. then you can have less informal communication constantly interrupting your day. Because one of the things that's hard when you're this kind of manager, easy access, is you never get to do your own work. Right.
Well, there's that, but also you set up a system of...
A dependency system.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you'd be surprised how if somebody has a meeting with you 2 days from now and they have a problem today, they actually could figure it out.
Yes.
You don't want them to be totally dependent on you. You want them to function pretty much on their own.
Right.
Unless they really need you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's all in what you train them to do.
Yeah. Right. Also, you can meet with all of the staff and set up terms of interaction or set up, you know, expectations about how they can work together or should work together, right? Should problems arise. Mm-hmm. I think it's all about having formal lines of communication, because we've also gone into companies where people are having catfights, and when we've run interdepartmental meetings, it changes.
We also got chewed out for saying catfights. So,
oh, so sorry. So, arguments.
People don't like that. I love that term.
All right.
So, well, reframe, say
they've been arguing, needlessly arguing and stabbing each other in the back on occasion, or, you know, not showing the highest interpersonal skills, shall we say. Conflicts, just having conflicts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that dissipates when you put everybody in the room and start asking not personal questions, but business questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as like a parent, that you have to create an environment of what will be tolerated and what won't be tolerated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is rewards when people do behave well, or people are, you know, don't behave in a needy way, mm-hmm. where you may bring them up at a big staff meeting and say that you want to just bring everyone's attention to how successful this person has been. Yeah. So there's a reward, and people see, wow, that's what my boss likes.
Right.
And then if, you know, you want to also have reprimands, you also want to call people in and say, I don't know what is happening over there. You can either go to HR or you can get yourself some outside support, but you can't do that here. Like, you have to put your limits on what you'll accept and what you won't accept.
And use HR. Use job descriptions. Use company policies. Use expected behaviors, mm-hmm. right, to point to clarify what's acceptable and not acceptable behavior.
Yeah. And, you know, you could even get into some coaching if you see the person is just handling things poorly. Uh-huh. You could get into some coaching with them, you know, that is on the personal level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About, you might want to avoid those kinds of conflicts. They really don't have any place here. Or, you know, you really fed into that one.
Yeah.
Just, you know, don't take it seriously. Let it go and move on. You know, forgive and forget at work. Don't hold grudges. I mean, there's a lot of coaching that good managers do on a daily basis.
Right. Mm.
Successful managers, I should say.
Yeah. So I would say for this individual who is a technical person, seems like does not envision himself as such a interpersonal person,
right.
that the first challenge is just to create these boundaries, these structures, mm-hmm. expected times that you meet, how to come to, if there's a problem, when and how to report those problems, right? Mm-hmm. And then you may want to build some of your own management skills.
Yeah, and I think, look, I've seen some people that had no, you know, a knowledge about how to be a manager become really good managers.
Yes.
And then I've seen other people just not want to grasp it at all. You have to you have to find that out for yourself. And there are
That's
jobs,
right.
you know, where you can work independently, where you work or virtually, and you don't have to deal with that many people.
Right.
But if you want to move up a ladder, you can't do the work yourself. You have to have a team.
You have to go from doing
to delegate.
That was a
that
term.
Was nice.
Kathy taught me that years ago. You got to go from doing to delegating, and I just love it.
Yeah, it works. It works. We don't say it all the time, though. It's a little New York-y.
It is. Mm. You got to go from doing to delegating.
It's all the way.
That's what you got to do.
Stop doing
everything.
Just delegate. Anyway.
Which also can be challenging for this kind of person who has all that expertise, right? Yeah. You can also mm-hmm. become like the utility closet where everyone goes to solve every problem.
Well, probably this person, you know, just feels it's easier for me to do it than teach anybody.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the doing.
Aha.
And they don't want to get involved in all the interpersonal stuff. But it's not going to work out. If you do 14
so even if you can solve the problem, someone brings this person, this manager, a technical problem, you want to send them back to solve it,
right?
Or work on it,
right.
and then come back to
right.
you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very challenging.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you've been a parent, then you have to apply it. A lot of people don't, you know, think no. My employees are not 3 years old.
Yes, but you also don't want to be a helicopter parent, so you have to apply. Mm-hmm.
Right, not
healthy right. parenting
not all,
techniques.
Not all parenting techniques. And there are a lot of bad parents out there.
Yes, there are.
So many issues, so little time.
I don't know what to do. All right, well, hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the whole business of being a boss takes a lot of thought.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
some education. Don't just go into it thinking, you know, I got this nailed.
Well, and also give yourself credit for what you are able to do and all the problems you have been able to solve, and appreciate that the fact is that management does require a good amount, not 70%, but probably 40% of your time handling the people, right? Mm-hmm. That's just part of what it is, at least. So that's what you signed up for.
Yeah, I think it's a big piece.
Big people.
Make sure you're getting paid well. I think that's it.
I think so too. So join us next time for another My Crazy Office, and tweet us your stories and advice about difficult personalities at work, whether it's a boss or employees. And feel free to review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.